From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is DJ and producer Elliot Lipp. He blends 90s hip-hop and house with a dash of old-school electro, funk, and boogie. Lipp is a bit of a journeyman. He started making beats in his hometown of Tacoma, Washington, moved down to San Francisco for school, made his way to the heart of the country in Chicago, where he was signed to Eastern Developments by Scott Heron of Prefuse 73. Then he moved back to LA before finally settling in Brooklyn. Elliot Lipp just released his third LP last year, Peace, Love, Weed 3D. He's also released several albums with his various side projects, including Dark Party with Leo123 and Lipp Service with Alex B. of Numa Trio. Let's get to the interview.
The first cassette I bought was Tougher Than Leather by Run DMC. my brother was talking about rap music, and I didn't know what it was, and so my dad took me over to the Tower Records, and I got that cassette, and yeah, that was pretty much, you know, the start of me being a fan of hip-hop. Then I also, I guess, early on, I was into a lot of 80s, like, synth pop. I was into Depeche Mode and Information Society, and I had some Elton John. And then just got more and more into hip-hop, I guess, and just a lot of different styles, too. I went through a phase where I was really into punk rock and metal.
Tell me about the hip-hop that you grew up on. How did the beat makers that you listened to eventually mold and shape the sound that you went on to make yourself?
With all of the stuff I was listening to, with from like production by like Dr. Dre and the West Coast producers, it was like Ant Banks and Kyrie. I was listening to a lot of Too Short and Ice Cube, and then I was listening to a lot of, you know, I was really into Tribe Called Quest. So I started kind of, and at the same time, me and a friend of mine would go to this used record store a lot and just listen to the old soul records to find samples, to find out, you know, where people were getting their samples from. And especially the West Coast stuff was a lot of like boogie and funk, like a lot of like Zapp and Roger and, you know, Daz Band and Ohio Players and stuff like that. So kind of digging back into the past where the music was coming from was also an inspiration to me as a producer. And while I was trying to pick apart the beat, and part of me was learning how to make hip-hop beat where with the drum programming, sampling, and laying in, you know, keyboards and bass lines and stuff. But at the same time, I spent a lot of time listening to bands and listening to records, so thinking of just putting together a track where you have, you know, the rhythm and the bass and the lead and all these elements coming together, you know.
Did you have any formal music training?
No, not so much. It was all pretty much self-taught.
Okay. Were you using physical drum machines when you started, or had computer production accelerated enough at this point?
See, it was a Casio RZ1 drum machine. So yeah, there was a lot of drum machines. It was nothing. I didn't really start using computers until about 2000 or so.
Tell me about these samples that you found. I read somewhere that you were listening to a lot of Madlib, which I know is really rooted in finding old soul samples, old jazz records. How did you learn that that was where you needed to look to make those sounds? I know that's a lot of the roots of electro, electro-funk, electro-house, electro-boogie. How did you learn that that was where you needed to go to find those beats that you were looking for?
Well, that started in the early 90s when groups were getting sued for using samples. They had to start clearing samples. So you would see on the back of the record, it would say, you know, this song, such and such song, contains Ohio Players. And so we just started going to the record store looking for those records that were being sampled. That was kind of where I just found out where to look. And then from there, I just started building my own personal taste on what I wanted to sample from and what instruments I wanted to sample. And so we were looking for certain records that would have just open drums, you know, breakbeats, and then open guitar or flute or whatever. And then also learning ways to EQ out the rest of the band so you could just you know, grab certain elements from a track and use that sample, you know. And it also involved a lot of, like, tuning samples to match each other, you know, taking parts from different songs and then, you know, adjusting the pitch so that they all will go together, you know, to make one new song.
You're listening to the Unz Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is hip-hop, house, and electro producer Elliot Lip. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and write us a review. Tell us what you think of the program. Also, make sure you check out the Summer Festival Guide, up now at theunz.com. We'll tell you about the biggest electronic festivals in the country and what to expect from the various DJs, artists, and bands making the rounds. There will be a second installment of the Festival Guide, which is going to take care of the back half of the season. That's coming out soon. That was Laser Cave from Elliot Lip's Peace, Love, Weed 3D album, out now on Old Tacoma.
Tell me about your relationship with Prefuse 73's Scott Heron. How did that end up leading you to being signed? What was that sort of period in your life like?
I was living in Chicago at the time, working on that record that he released. I had been working on that album for a couple of years, and some of it was meant to just be instrumentals for MCs to rhyme over, but you know, I ended up kind of like bringing the songs into to being like full songs and not just a backing track, you know. And then I sent the record. I just mailed it to Prefuse 73's, the record label that he was running. I mailed it to their address in Atlanta, and he called me up once he heard it. He was on tour, and he just called, left a message, and from there we started talking and building, you know. And then when he came out to Chicago, we hung out, and you know, it all came together. I ended up putting out that first record on his label, and he definitely helped me get my foot in the door. And it was cool because I was a big fan of his music too, because he was a real good person to meet at that time. Because before that, I hadn't done any shows really, so it was cool.
You put out your first self-titled LP in 2004, then Tacoma Mockingbird followed that up in 2006. How would you say your sound has evolved to last year's Peace, Love, Weed 3D, and to even where it is now, just a year later?
I think a lot of it is just you know, a lot of traveling and hearing new music and, you know, hearing music in different ways, being in different areas, you know. That had a big inspiration. It was a big inspiration to me on my way, you know, leading up to where I am now. And also just using different equipment, getting to be fluent with different synthesizers and samplers and drum machines and all that. But at the same time, right now, I'm kind of back to what I was doing in 04. I mean, I'm just sampling records, you know, doing a lot of drum programming and trying to as much synthesizer as I can on top of all the samples, you know. So just still trying to bridge the gap between, you know, trying to make, like, something that's real raw and funky and gritty and dusty, but at the same time having all these real flashy electronic sounds, like, you know, on top of it, just building layers, you know, of digital and analog sound, just, you know, filling the spectrum basically is what I'm trying to do in music. That's what I've been trying to do for years, and it's pretty much still my same, you know, what I'm up to.
It seems like within your answer you had a couple of things stand out. Different places, different gear. You started out in Tacoma, Washington, moved down to San Francisco, then to the Midwest and Chicago, then back to LA, and now you're in Brooklyn. What can you tell me about the various scenes, how they're different, what what sort of sounds were big in one place versus another. I'm just curious about how that sort of journey has shaped you and your sound.
Before I got to New York, I was in L.A., and L.A. is real big for producers are really coming into their own there. There's a lot of producers that are, when I was in L.A., there was a lot of producers that were, for a long time, making beats just for MCs, and then they were just, like, started to just do solo records. You know, so I was hanging out with people like Take and Savius Beck and Omid, and it was really good for me, meeting people like Carlos Nino from Amon Contact and, you know, Kutma, and they had a night called Sketchbook when I was out there, which the same scene sort of eventually turned into what's now the Low End Theory. And, you know, so a lot of those artists that came out of sort of have roots that go back to that scene, Daedalus, Edit, Flying Lotus, a lot of No Such Thing. A lot of these guys were around back then, too, just it was a lot more underground, a lot more low-key, but it was still, you know, the thesis behind it all was these are producers making instrumental music and bringing that to the forefront. It wasn't that, like, it needed vocals on top of it to be taken seriously. It was, like, all instrumental, but it was something that was could hold its own, you know.
And now in New York?
Well, in New York, man, I'm just really getting into the culture of the music scene here. And, you know, from the hip-hop scene to a lot of people doing dance music. I mean, everybody that's doing any genre of music here in some way or another are influenced by the club scene and just dance music. I mean, so you've got rock bands, you know, using a disco beat, and you got MCs on some real up-tempo stuff right now. And it's pretty much, I feel like there's an up-tempo vibe to so much of the music that's going on in New York right now. And I'm pretty into that. I'm responding to that in a major way, just my own music. I'm trying things out with tempo and with rhythm that I wasn't trying before.
And the other part of that new process is that you're using new gear, new software. Is there something that's come into your studio that has really defined your sound recently?
Yeah, I just bought, well, there's a synth called the Nordlead 3. It came out about 10 years ago, but I just finally found one I could afford on eBay, like the other day. And it had one broken key on it, so it was like real cheap. But I've been wanting this synth forever, and it's a digital synth. It's like an analog modeling synth, and I've always been into strictly analog synth. But this one is just the MIDI implementation and all there's just a lot of real intricate things you can do while programming patches on it, and so that's definitely been, I've been using it for like the icing on, you know, pretty much every song I'm doing right now. I'm just kind of going back over it with a layer of the Nordlead. As far as software, I'm still just using Ableton Live. There isn't really any software that's made its way into my studio.
Elliot Lipp's record Peace, Love, Weed 3D. The strangest thing, every song on that LP is 4 minutes and 20 seconds long. I can't wrap my head around it. Anyway, let's wrap up the interview.
Do you think you could tell me about your various side projects? You've got Dark Party and then Lip Service with Alex B. from Numa Trio. I know that those have sort of stood out a little bit more. I know you do your solo stuff a lot, but those have come to the forefront more, especially when you play live.
Yeah, Dark Party is me and my friend Leo123. I've been working with him on stuff for probably about 8 years or so now, off and on. But this is a project that we've been working on the last few years, and we've got a single coming out next Tuesday, actually. It's called Patrol Patrol, and we got a remix on there from Mux Mool and another remix from Mishnah. Yeah, that's something that we started we both are really into techno and house and electro, and we wanted to do a dance music project. So it's just a lot of fun for us to do the different style of drum programming and, you know, the melodies being, we're allowing ourselves to use more of like poppy melodies that we wouldn't normally put on our own albums. And so the Dark Party project has been really fun, and touring with Leo has been really cool too. We're doing a lot of stuff, collaborating live on stage, and, you know, improvisational stuff that we get to do live is really fun. I have another side project called Neon Strider Bitrate, and it's with a MC producer named Vile from Chicago. He's actually been out here in New York with me the last couple of weeks, and we've been in the studio like 10 hours a day working on a record. So that's been really fun, and it's got me back to just, you know, doing beats, making like hip-hop beats and making real stripped down, like, minimal rhythms for him to rap on. And that's been really fun to do. And yeah, Lip Service, me and Alex, that's basically doing my music but stripping it down and doing it live. Yeah, there's probably a couple other there's a project called Galaxy Tubin that is on hiatus at the moment, but we did a full length last year. We had a full length come out on a Dutch label called Creme. But yeah, so I'm always doing collaborations with friends of mine, and there's always that pressure to turn it into like a group and do the whole thing with it, but sometimes you just make one or two tracks and you just want to put them out, you know? And so I think over the next year or so, I'll probably start putting out a lot more of these collaborations I'm doing with my friends, and not worry so much about taking the whole project to the next level and all that, but just getting the music out there, making it available to people that want to hear it.
It sounds like you got a lot of irons in the fire.
I'm in a little over my head.
Do you have a series of shows that's coming up, a mini tour maybe? I know you're off the road a little bit and doing recording, but what's the next big project for you that you can that's in the foreseeable future?
As far as touring, I'll be in the Southeast in August with Anasia, doing some shows, and then in September and October it'll be me, Anasia, and Alex B doing a bunch of Midwest and Northeast dates together. Those are going to be some fun tours. And then I have a couple festivals coming up that I'm doing solo shows at. Hopefully we'll have another Dark Party tour in the fall.
That sounds great. Well, Elliot Lipp, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Aaron Dvorak with the Madero Group and, of course, Elliot Lipp. Go to our website to find out where you can catch him in your area. Next week on the program, percussionist and hammer dulcimer maestro Jamie Janiver will be featured on the UNS podcast. He rose to fame with Zilla, his Moody Live electronica trio with Michael Travis and Aaron Holstein. His new project is Lynx and Janiver, and he's the organizer of the highly anticipated electronic music festival Sonic Bloom in Colorado. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theunst.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunst.com. Remember to visit theunst.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you want to find out how you can support the UNS in your area, contact Avi at theunst.com. That's A-V-I at theunst.com. We're going out with Patrol Patrol, the new single from Dark Party. Catch you next week.